On today's program, we'll continue our discussion on the Eucharist and we'll focus on the Mass readings for the Feast of St. Lawrence. Stay tuned because it's coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Great to be back here again with you. Today is Monday, so we will be continuing our look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We'll wrap up what we began last week, this discussion on the Eucharist. Today is also a special day. It's the Feast of St. Lawrence, who was a deacon and a martyr. So therefore, we've got special Mass readings for today's daily Mass. We're going to look at those, we're going to analyze them, and I'll tell you what, the Gospel is very challenging. Gospel from today's Mass, it's got a challenging message, one that we all need to remember. Unless we give up our life for the Lord, now listen to this, unless we give up our life for the Lord, we are going to lose that life. Now that's a sort of a paradox, but that's the way Jesus spoke sometimes. We don't necessarily need to be physically martyred, but as Christians, we're called to give up our lives, everything we do, for the Lord. And that's what the call is. That's where we'll find peace. And ultimately, that's what will allow us, with the Lord's help, to get to heaven, which is why we are here in the first place. Sometimes we forget that. But we are here to get to heaven. Lots of good things coming up in the near future on the program. I want to remind you that you still have time to register for the first ever Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat. That's going to be taking place at the Malvern Retreat House right outside of Philadelphia, August the 14th through the 16th. That's Friday through Sunday. This Friday through Sunday, I've been talking about it for a long time, but it's really coming about now. The retreat is just around the corner. If you're somebody who tends to worry, this retreat is designed for you. Essentially, what we're going to do is we're going to try to get closer to Christ over this three-day period. That closeness, that relationship, that walking with Jesus every day is what allows us to break free from worry. It's not us doing it. It's the Lord helping us. So if you are interested, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat image. You'll see that all over the place. You click on that, it'll take you to the retreat schedule, and there's a link there where you can sign up if you would like to sign up. The other piece of news is that next Wednesday, two Wednesdays from now, August the 19th, I'll be in Birmingham, Alabama, talking about total consecration to Jesus through Mary. So if you are in the area and you want to stop on by, it's at Our Lady of Sorrows Parish. It'll be a 30-minute talk. We'll have some other things going on that night as well. If you need more information, please look at my website, followingthetruth.com. It's right on the homepage. There's a link to Our Lady of Sorrows. You can learn more about it. Essentially, what's happening is I'm in town to do some taping with Johnette Benkovic. While I'm there, I wanted to talk about total consecration, which is a big thing in the Diocese of Birmingham right now. So I'm so happy that I get to talk about it. And the final piece of news is that beginning on September the 4th, right here on this show, we will once again, for the fifth straight year, start our preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It's a 33-day preparation period. We'll kick it off on the 4th. Stay tuned for more information. I'm going to do at least one show about it, and I plan to blog about it very soon to let you know what's coming up. We'll be using Father Mike Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. I'll give you info about how you can get that at a very, very cheap price. I think you only have to pay postage. And that's the book we'll be using. We did that, I believe, 2 years ago we used that book. It, I think, is the most popular method that I've used on the show. We've tried different methods for our preparation for total consecration. That's what we're going to do this year. If you are interested, stay tuned. I'll give you more information about how you can sign up. The only reason you need to sign up is so that if I have an email that I have to send out, I want to make sure your name's on the mailing list. We do that sometimes for a little clarification, for a reminder, for a little pep talk, because when we go through this process, I take it upon myself to be your coach, to coach you through this. Because it's you know how it is, if you do anything spiritual for any extended period of time, there is always that tendency to quit. We don't want to quit this. And by the way, the devil knows you want to do this, and he's going to try to make you quit too. So together, there is unity in strength, or there is strength in numbers, or something like that. I'm not sure of the actual quote, but together, we're going to be strong. And we will go right through the weekends. So we'll do 33 programs in a row, Saturday and Sunday. I think I'll put the show up at about 2 p.m. Eastern Time. But you can download it and listen to it whenever you want. Not going to cost you anything. But we will do this together. Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary begins on the show September the 4th. Stay tuned for more information. Does that sound good? All right, here's the deal. Let's begin our show with prayer as we always do. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father. Let's first thank Him for the gift of this new day. Thank Him for the privilege of being able to come together and discuss Him and His church on the radio, on this Blog Talk Radio program. Let's do that now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us another day. We're very grateful for your kindness, for your mercy, for the fact that you love us unconditionally. Many times we've failed you in the past, but you're always there to take us back. Help us to continue being strong and walking the road which will one day lead to eternal life with you in heaven. Grant us the strength, the fortitude that we need to be able to share our faith with others. Because so many people don't know about you and your love, Father. We need to share it and share you with them. We ask you, Father, to help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, the many people struggling with addiction, those who are dealing with financial difficulties, those who are struggling with religious persecution, as well as those who are experiencing extreme weather conditions. We ask you to help them, Father, to let them experience your peace, to give them the strength that they need to go forward. And Father, I ask that you use me this day on the program, that you use me to proclaim your message. Help me to step aside and turn the show over to you. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And we present you to you all of our own personal needs, intentions, those things that may keep us up at night. We give them to you. We trust that you can handle them a lot better than we can. It's hard for us sometimes, but we ask you to handle these problems for us. Help us to trust you more. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, on this day, as we do every day, we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her intercession, because we know that where Mary is, there is Jesus. And we know that Our Lady brings us closer to her Son, Jesus, than we could ever become by ourselves. So we turn to you, Blessed Mother. We ask for your prayers. We ask you to take us by the hand and lead us to your Son, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Lawrence, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, now I'm ready to get started. Don't want to do anything without praying. And you know what? It's a real privilege to be able to sit here at the table with you every night, every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, hang out with you, talk about the Lord, pray together. I mean, boy, I'll tell you what. There are days when I can't wait to do this program. It's actually most days, because I just feel a strength. I feel your presence here. I feel the Lord's presence. And together, I think we strengthen one another. It's great that we can always turn to the Lord in prayer whenever we need Him. He's there for us. And we should make it a habit of turning to Him even when we don't need something, right? Every day we want to be able to turn to the Lord. We want to make sure we're praying every day, because He's there. He hears us, and He loves us. If you have questions about anything that we discuss, or if you would maybe like to bring me to your parish to speak, I would invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can see some samples of my talks there. You'll see some endorsements, and you'll find out how to bring me to your parish. I would love to come to speak at your parish, your conference. Currently, I'm scheduling for 2016, but I still have some openings for 2015. So if you want to make it a point to do that, maybe for Advent, for an Advent retreat, or for a talk, I would be happy to do that. Followingthetruth.com for more information, or email me directly at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, today's beverage du jour, always a popular feature on this program. Here we go, today's beverage. Oh, that was especially good. You know what it is today? If you guessed Krispy Kreme coffee, you are correct. I bet you didn't guess that, though. I think this is the first time I've had it on the show. Maybe I'm wrong, but they now sell Krispy Kreme coffee in the supermarket. Now, if they sold the donuts around here, it would be really dangerous, but that's another story. But that's the beverage du jour. I hope you've got a good beverage. I hope you got a good snack, because we're going to settle in for the remainder of the show and talk about our Lord Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. Got some great stuff here today. As I mentioned, today is August the 10th, Monday, August the 10th, and the church celebrates the feast of St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr. Now, this is a feast. This is a step up above a memorial. In the church, we have optional memorials. They are the memorials for saints that we may or may not celebrate. When Mass is said, we can possibly celebrate this memorial. Then we have a step up above that are memorials. Those memorials are celebrations for most of the lives of the saints. Then we have a step up above that, which is a feast. Generally, that's for the apostles or some of the heavy hitters. So St. Lawrence, he's way up there on the totem pole. Above feast is the highest holy day, which is a solemnity. But this is pretty high up there. St. Lawrence was a Roman deacon. He died in 258 A.D., and he died 4 days after Pope Sixtus II during the persecution of Valerian. Arrested by the prefect, he was commanded to deliver up the valuable property of the church. He pointed to a crowd of poor people, saying, "Here are the true treasures of the church," and he was burned to death on a gridiron. Now, I'm telling you, that is somebody who's really dedicated to the Lord and who gave up his life for the Lord. So, St. Lawrence, we ask that you help us to have that kind of zeal, that kind of enthusiasm for Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. The first reading, and these are all special readings, they're what is known as proper readings for the feast. First reading comes from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. Brothers and sisters, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, "He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I told you the gospel's tough. This first reading is tough too. If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. In other words, what we do in this life, the good that we do in this life, really does matter when it comes to receiving our eternal reward in heaven. If we sit back and don't do a lot, if we're afraid to take a step out in faith, to talk to someone who might reject our message, if we're afraid to do something because it might be too much work, then ultimately one day we're going to be judged, and that judgment will take that into account. The reason this is important for us, and this is why it's important, not to make you feel bad, not to make you worry, it is something that should motivate us. When I hear this, I get a little scared. That's a good thing, because with my fallen human nature, and we all have that fallen human nature, we have a tendency to get complacent and to get a little lazy. We need to hear this message. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not. We are alive at the moment, thank you, Lord. Will we see another day? There is no guarantee. And too many times we start to take things for granted in life. We don't want to take our salvation for granted. We don't want to think that we have plenty of time. That's a big mistake that we can make. We might, but we want to live each day as if it's our last. And what the Lord is telling us through the words of St. Paul in this passage is that we need to get out there and spread Jesus Christ. Spread him to everyone that we know, everyone that we meet, by our actions, by our words. And it all starts internally. We've got to get to know Christ ourselves before we can get out there and spread the good news. So every day, you and I, we have to read our scripture. We have to pray. If possible, we have to receive Holy Communion. Again, if possible, that's not possible for everyone. If possible, maybe spend some time with our Lord in adoration. If possible, get to confession as often as you can. When we do these things, then we begin to grow spiritually. We need to do that because otherwise we're going to burn out and we are not going to be sharing an authentic message with those around us. We've got to live it first before we share it. But then we absolutely must share it. Okay? And we do it. God loves a cheerful giver. We do it through our actions. Helping somebody out and not complaining. Giving to charity and not complaining. Praying and not complaining that we're bored. This is what God wants us to do. He's given us a new day. He's given us so many blessings. He's given us the opportunity to live with him forever in heaven. We don't want to mess it up. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 112, blessed the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. Blessed the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. He shall never be moved. The just one shall be in everlasting remembrance. An evil report he shall not fear. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steadfast. He shall not fear. Till he looks down upon his foes, lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. Blessed the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. That pretty much sums it up. What we need to do is love the Lord, both through our own personal devotions, our prayers, our sacrifices, our fasting, and also we love the Lord by loving those around us, our family members, our friends, those who we run into in the store, the poor. Are we helping the poor? Are we helping those in need? Are we helping those who don't know Christ? These are all ways for us to share the Lord with others. The Gospel, John 12:24 through 26, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." If you want to hang on to your life, if you want to hang on to your possessions, if you want to hang on to your comfort, good luck getting into heaven. You know, this is a tough message. It's a thing about Christianity. It's not for wimps. It's hard to be a Christian. It becomes easier because the Lord helps us with his grace, but we still have to work at it because we've got to fight against that fallen human nature, that selfishness, that fear. Sometimes we're paralyzed by fear. I'm afraid to step out of my comfort zone because it might not be pleasant. I'm afraid to give money to those in need because I might need it someday. I'm afraid to volunteer at church because they might keep asking me to do more and more things. I'm afraid to get too close to Jesus Christ because he may ask me to suffer, and I don't want to do that. You see how selfishness and being self-centered and trying to hold on to our life can be a bad thing? What Jesus did is give us the ultimate example. He gave his life for us. And we see in the example of St. Lawrence, that's what he did. He gave his life up for the Lord. We're asked to do the same thing. And again, there's a good chance you will not be martyred in a physical sense. But we're called to give up our life and live for Christ. Live for him by serving others before we get served ourselves. If you live your life like that, even though it's a little, again, it's paradoxical, Doesn't seem to make sense. How am I going to be happy if I am taking care of the needs of others? Give it a try and you'll see what happens. And when you struggle, and we're all going to struggle with this from time to time, we have people such as St. Lawrence to intercede for us. That's why you want to lean on him today. If you're afraid, if you just don't have that desire, if you don't think you can do it, ask St. Lawrence to intercede for you. Ask Our Lady to intercede for you. Ask St. Joseph to intercede for you. St. Joseph was really good at taking care of Jesus and Mary. Even though he didn't have a lot of certainty in his life, there's a lot of unknown things happening in the life of St. Joseph, as it was in the life of the Blessed Mother, but they both said yes. That's what a true disciple of Christ does. A disciple says yes, even when there are no earthly guarantees. There are heavenly guarantees, but we have to believe those by faith. We're promised eternal life if we stay close to the Lord and follow his commands. Do you believe that promise, or do you believe the promise of the world, which tells you that go for all the pleasure you can in this life? Live for today. Enjoy yourself because time's almost up. You see, the message is completely different. The message of the world is opposed to the message of Christ. But if we follow Christ, we need to follow the teaching of Christ. We need to also follow his example. You look at how he lived his life, how he suffered. It was incredibly powerful. That's what we're called to do. All right, let's now move into the second part of our show, where we look at the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We've been doing this on Mondays, what the Church teaches. And the compendium, I use this book, which was published by the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, because it's good for the program. It has a series of questions and answers. We're continuing our look at the Eucharist. We started it last week, and we'll begin with question, if you happen to have the compendium, the question 280, in what way is the Eucharist a memorial of the sacrifice of Christ? The Eucharist is a memorial in the sense that it makes present and actual the sacrifice which Christ offered to the Father on the cross once and for all on behalf of mankind. The sacrificial character of the Holy Eucharist is manifested in the very words of institution. This is my body, which is given for you, and this cup is the new covenant in my blood that will be shed for you. The sacrifice of the cross and the sacrifice of the Eucharist are one and the same sacrifice. I need to repeat that again because it's so astonishing. The sacrifice of the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago and the sacrifice of the Eucharist are one and the same sacrifice. The priest and the victim are the same. Only the manner of offering is different. In a bloody manner on the cross and in an unbloody manner in the Eucharist. You and I were not born 2,000 years ago. We couldn't possibly be at the foot of the cross when our Lord sacrificed himself on our behalf to the Father. Well, every time we go to Mass, that's exactly where we are. In a supernatural way, that one sacrifice is made present. And more than just being spectators, we're invited to climb up on the cross with Jesus and sacrifice ourselves to the Father. That's an incredible honor. We also receive the graces that we need to be able to get to heaven, primarily through the Mass, through Holy Communion. That's a real privilege. That's why I always advocate going to Mass as often as possible. It's a great blessing. In what way does the Church participate in the Eucharistic sacrifice? In the Eucharist, the sacrifice of Christ becomes also the sacrifice of the members of his body. The lives of the faithful, their praise, their suffering, their prayers, their work are united to those of Christ. Inasmuch as it is a sacrifice, the Eucharist is likewise offered for all the faithful, living and dead, in reparation for the sins of all, and to obtain spiritual and temporal benefits from Christ, from God. The Church in heaven is also united to the offering of Christ. How is Christ present in the Eucharist? Jesus Christ is present in the Eucharist in a unique and incomparable way. He is present in a true, real, and substantial way with his body and blood, with his soul and divinity. In the Eucharist, therefore, there is present in a sacramental way, that is under the Eucharistic species of bread and wine, Christ whole and entire, God and man. Jesus Christ is fully present in the Eucharist. That's incredible. We've read about him in the Gospels, but he's really there. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. All of him, even though he doesn't look the same. What is the meaning of transubstantiation? Transubstantiation means the change of the whole substance of bread into the substance of the body of Christ, and the whole substance of wine into the substance of his blood. This change is brought about in the Eucharistic prayer through the efficacy of the Word of Christ and by the action of the Holy Spirit. However, the outward characteristics of bread and wine, that is, the Eucharistic species, remain unaltered. It's still the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ still looks like a wafer, piece of bread, and wine. But it isn't. The substance changes. We believe that by faith. Our eyes aren't going to tell us that. Our taste isn't going to tell us that. But faith tells us that it is true. Does the breaking of the bread divide Christ? The breaking of the bread does not divide Christ. He is present whole and entire in each of the Eucharistic species and in each of their parts. How long does the presence of Christ last in the Eucharist? The presence of Christ continues in the Eucharist as long as the Eucharistic species subsist. So, for instance, when you receive the Eucharist and it becomes dissolved, the host becomes dissolved in your stomach, at some point, our Lord's real presence will cease to exist. So you want to really take advantage of that point right after you receive him, to really savor his real presence. What kind of worship is due to the sacrament of the Eucharist? The worship due to the sacrament of the Eucharist, whether during the celebration of the Mass or outside of it, is the worship of latria. That is the adoration given to God alone. The Church guards with the greatest care hosts that have been consecrated. She brings them to the sick and to other persons who find it impossible to participate at Mass. She also presents them for solemn adoration of the faithful, and she bears them in processions. The Church encourages the faithful to make frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament reserved in the tabernacle. Why is the Holy Eucharist the Paschal banquet? The Holy Eucharist is the Paschal banquet inasmuch as Christ sacramentally makes present his Passover and gives us his body and blood offered as food and drink, uniting us to himself and to one another in his sacrifice. What is the meaning of the altar? The altar is the symbol of Christ himself, who is present both as sacrificial victim, the altar of the sacrifice, and as food from heaven, which is given to us at the table of the Lord. When does the Church oblige her members to participate in Holy Mass? The Church obliges the faithful to participate in Holy Mass every Sunday and on holy days of obligation. She recommends participation at Holy Mass on other days as well. When must one receive Holy Communion? Let's see. The Church recommends that the faithful, if they have the required dispositions, receive Holy Communion whenever they participate at Holy Mass. However, the Church obliges them to receive Holy Communion at least once a year during the Easter season. Now, that, of course, is the bare minimum. I'm going to have to do some paraphrasing here because I want to get this done. What is required to receive Holy Communion? To receive Holy Communion, one must be fully incorporated into the Catholic Church and be in the state of grace. That is, not conscious of being in mortal sin. If you are conscious of having committed a grave sin, you must first receive the sacrament of reconciliation before receiving Holy Communion. That's also important, you know. We want to make sure that we are in the state of grace. What are the fruits of Holy Communion? Holy Communion increases our union with Christ and with his Church. It preserves and renews the life of grace received at baptism and confirmation and makes us grow in love for our neighbor. It strengthens us in charity, wipes away venial sins, and preserves us from mortal sins in the future. All right, I am completely out of time. Make it a point to really appreciate this great gift of the Eucharist and get to communion mass as often as you can. God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I hope you can join me as we will look at The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, as we do every Tuesday. Have a wonderful night. God bless you, and thanks for joining me.